Wrexham are promoted. They have their storybook ending. You can walk through the fire. You can walk through the fire. When it's down to the wire. You can walk through the fire. Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Wrexham Texan. My name is Jake Green. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. This is episode number 61, and it is brought to you by Peaceful Sea Network. You can go watch this on our website, Peaceful Sea Network. PeacefulSea.network is the website. You can also go to PeacefulSeaProductions.com. It leads you to the same place. But as you can see on the homepage, this episode is currently streaming. And you can also go check out the Wrexham Texans actual page, which has all the audio versions. And we're going to be putting up the video versions as well coming soon. So, again, thank you all for tuning in. Really appreciate it. I missed last week. All right. So there are going to be times when I can't put out a podcast every single week. I am currently in the process of building mine and my wife's house in the middle of nowhere, Montana. And so there isn't much reception out there. I'm working basically from morning until I go to sleep, manual labor, you know, the fun stuff, just trying to build this daggum house so that we can move up there and live in the mountains in the peace and quiet of nature, minus, you know, the coyotes and wolves and mountain lions and bears and moose and all that good stuff. So, there are going to be times when I miss a week or two, especially during the off season, like starting in a couple weeks, I'll probably do every other week for the most part, because if you're tuning into this show, you're not tuning in for incredible football analysis. I am not the guy who's going to give you statistics from the past 10 years, 20 seasons, even detailed statistics of this season. That's not what this podcast is. I am merely a fan who has a lot of opinions on our awesome squad and basically what I think we should and shouldn't be doing and what I'm happy and not happy with. And so, yeah, if you're trying to find a podcast for statistics and super detailed, incredible like thoroughness with football knowledge, that's not me. I'll get better over time and I'll learn more and more and more. But I am definitely, this is more of an opinion podcast rather than statistical analysis or anything like that. I barely know formations. That's kind of my thing that I'm trying to learn most right now is, just formations and how they differ from team to team and why play one formation versus another. That's something that we just kind of had basic formations growing up when I was playing football. I was a midfielder, right outside mid. And I don't really remember us ever changing our formation very often. So, it's America, and that was 30 years ago. So, I don't think the football world had really ingrained itself in our sports growing up. There are going to be times when I miss a week or two, but I'm back this week, and next week will be my season wrap up. I'm going to try to have my friend Steve Irwin on, and we can talk about Wrexham for hours on end. And so next week we're going to have awards. There's going to be at least two awards, maybe three, probably three. There's going to be player of the season. There's going to be something called the Alamo Award, which I will describe in more detail next week, but it's called the Alamo Award. And if you don't know what the Alamo is, I'm from Texas. It is a massive piece of Texas history. And basically it was during the war for Texas independence, the Alamo fell to the Mexican army, even though they were given a chance to get out and all of them stayed to fight to the last man, and they all ended up dying. And so the Alamo Award will be given to the player who fell the most during the season. That's basically what the Alamo Award is. And so I'll give you a top three for each one next week. And maybe I'll do it on social media throughout the week. So I'll give you my three nominations for each award that I'm going to present next week. And I'm going to send little trophies or little awards to each of these players and hope it gets to them. You never know. It could. I don't have their home addresses or anything, so I'll be sending it to the club. So yeah, y'all, season is over. Let's talk about the Stockport game, shall we? Actually, let's watch just two highlights, the best two highlights of the daggum night. Here we go.
The sprinter ground making a run, and O'Connell sees O'Palmer. Wonderful ball, Palmer, one-on-one with the keeper. Yeah!
A better pass.
Slams it home.
Love that. Great pose.
What a pass from O'Connell. He got that one right, didn't he? He did. I said that at time. I wasn't happy about that one.
Oh, so good. So good.
The pass. Wow, what a ball by O'Connell.
Seriously, O'Connell.
Light.
Palmer had a perfect cut to bring it down and right into the corner.
That was absolutely stunning. As you know, if you've been watching the show a while, you know that I'm a huge fan of Ollie Palmer, and I've been thrilled ever since he came back into the starting lineup the second half of the season and played so many games for us in the second half of the season. Absolutely awesome. And then here's a different angle of the second goal, which is Mr. Andy Cannon.
How about that? The game winner right there. The game winner for Andy Cannon. Unbelievable. The noise. That was from Nate Smith at Wrexham 89.
Y'all, I cannot wait to go to a game in Wrexham. I was trying to go so hard this year. We did not make it out there. So really praying that we get out there next season to see at least one game. I'm hoping to go to a home and an away game. We'll see. But gosh, what a phenomenal comeback. Y'all, the game, obviously the game didn't really matter in the sense of like how it affects our season, but it mattered. It mattered to the players. It mattered to me. It mattered to the fans. It was something where, yeah, Stockport won the league by a few points, which we'll get to here in a second. But we beat them, you know, we beat them. We came back and beat them at our own ground. And I just thought the whole game, we showed a lot of grit. We showed a lot of determination. The fact that Ollie was able to get that one in the 47th minute was absolutely fantastic. And then we just have so many goals very late in games. We went over a statistic about that with Paul Mullen a few episodes ago where he scored like, what was it, like 9 goals in the 90th plus minute, which is wild. So yeah, we just score a lot of goals near the ends of games. And this was no different. It was absolutely incredible. Let's go over a few statistics real quick. Let's see. All right. So ball possession. Looks like they had it for 55% of the time. We had it for 45. It didn't really matter. It was a back and forth game. It was all over the place. We had it for long stretches. They had it for long stretches. They definitely dominated the first half. Like you can see right here, the momentum graph, they were destroying us the first half, especially the first half of the first half. That's a mouthful. But then you can see starting at about the 43rd minute onward, we basically took control. And that goal right there pretty much led to their demise, because we had all the momentum after that. They had little spouts where they'd get it, but man, we had it so often from then on. Let's see. Let's go to the stats over here. I want to see some stats. All right. Total shots, they had 10. We had 9, but they only had one on target, and that was the one that went in. We had 4 shots on target, 2 big chances. We missed one of our big chances, but still got 2 goals, yo. Still got 2 goals. Let's see. Passes. I always like looking at passing. They got 100 more passes than we did. They barely beat us on accuracy. Let's see. What else? We beat them on long ball accuracy, which is kind of cool. Our crossing accuracy was terrible. Ours was 13%. Theirs was 20. So neither team did that great with their crosses. Touches in opposition box, they had 20. We had 14. We had 1 offsides. They had 2. They had 3 yellow cards. That started happening towards the end. You could see them getting frustrated. Things just weren't falling for them. They had their opportunities. Honestly, they definitely could have come away with this with at least a tie. And I feel like they probably should have. Though there was that one time in the first half, Ollie Palmer definitely should have scored. Griffiths said the exact same thing. I mean, he had only the goalie to beat pretty much, and he just shot it right at the goalie. To be fair to Ollie, it was very quick. It was a very quick situation. He wasn't turned towards the goal, so he was turning as he was kicking and looking. And so I feel like that probably led to him not getting that ball in the back of the net. But overall, I think the better team won. I think we were the better team yesterday. And yeah, very happy with how that turned out. Looks like we only played them. Man, did we really only, did they really beat us 5-0 last year? Good Lord. I completely forgot that happened in 2023. Let's go back and look at that game and see what happened. Man, it was one where we dominated in the second half and they still scored 2 goals. I remember this game. Freaking Olaf, however you say his name, Olafe, whatever it was. He got a freaking hat trick. I remember that game. That was a terrible game. Yeah, I watched that one. Not great. Dalby got a yellow card. Fletcher came in, did nothing. Palmer came in, did nothing. Evans came in, did nothing. It was, man, that game was terrible. Mark Howard was goalie. He had a 3.5. Ouch. Olafe got 9.7 that game. Wow. It's funny. It's fun to look back on this kind of stuff. So I guess in the grand scheme of things, in the head-to-head competition this year, they technically won. 6-2. So not, you know, we can't hang our feather in that cap, but it is what it is. We ended up getting second place in the league, and I'm extremely happy with that. Let's see how the table ended up. All right. Stockport ended with 92 points overall. Wrexham had 88 points. Mansfield had 86. And those are the 3 automatic promotions for this season. We ended the game on ended the year on a 5-game win streak. Look at all those W's right in a row. Handed Stockport their only loss in their last 5 games. And to top it all off, Mansfield ended up drawing, which allowed us to get that second place position because they have the goal differential on us. They ended up having 43. We had 37. But that final draw led us to get the number 2 slot. Yeah, I loved this post by Paul Mullen. How it started versus how it ended. Started with him in the hospital, ended with him holding up a bottle of champagne celebrating on the field. It's just unbelievable. What a season. What a season, y'all. Here's a post from Fearless in Devotion. Fortress Kairos is what it's titled. Played 85, 166, drawn 13, lost 6, goals scored 229, goals conceded 80. That's, y'all, that's our home form under Phil Parkinson. Come on. There were there was like a period of 2 months where I heard nonstop that we got to replace Parkey. Parkey's not up for the job. Enough with that garbage. You gotta be far more patient during the droughts, because there will be droughts. It's sports. You're not going to win every game ever, and you're going to go through really tough times. And so the fact that Parkey seems to always get us through has gotten us promoted twice. We almost got promoted the year before that. It's show a little more faith in our leader, this dude. He's unbelievable. He's a fantastic coach. He is a killer at getting us promoted. I don't know what more to say about it. Just enough with the Parkey hatred, or Parkey, not hatred, bashing maybe, and just show some patience. I loved this post by WXM Smith. Neil is his name. The last one, did we struggle without Mullen? Was our promotion inevitable? Second place on our first return back to the EFL is not to be sniffed at. Parkey, you have our trust. You're darn right. And if you're just listening to this, it shows a chart of where we were throughout the season. So we started out, obviously, in 0th place. Everybody started out the same spot. We quickly made our way by game number 8 up to 4th place. And then through game... what is that? Like 13, we fluctuated between 4th and 10th place. And then after that, we never went down below 6th place for the rest of the season, and spent most of the rest of the season in the top 3. I mean, there were, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 games. 26 of the last, what is that? 31. 26 of the last 31 games, we were in the top 3. How can you, like... how was there ever that doubting period? Like, that doubting period was right here. It was when we dropped down to 6th place and came back up. It was during this stretch where everybody was losing their dadgum minds because we were losing so often. And it wasn't even that often in the long run. It was painful, of course. But look, we only dropped down to 6th place. It's crazy to think that people were losing their minds during this little dip. During that little dip, people were losing their minds. I remember when we were like in 16th after the first few games, Knotts was still up here in the playoff contention, which is wild because they ended up finishing 16th or so. But yeah, we spent this entire time of the season in first, second, or third. That is unbelievable. That is so many games where we are guaranteed promotion. It's crazy to me that, I mean, I guess maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is a belief that we cannot win in the playoffs. Like I said, I have not been a Wrexham fan long enough to feel that pain or be haunted by those experiences, but I can understand if there were many, many years where you watched your team, Wrexham, lose in the playoffs, and we just did it repeatedly, I can understand how you might have some PTSD from playoff appearances. But for most of this season, y'all, for literally the majority of the season, we were in automatic promotion level, which is just utterly consistent. It's an unbelievable consistency that we got this season. And you can chalk that up to Parkey. He's the manager. He's the gaffer. He's the guy running the show. He's the one practicing the players, training the players, implementing who he wants in the starting lineup, implementing the formations, all of it. It all comes down to Parkey when it comes to long-term consistency. There are going to be small streaks, like what we talked about, where people make mistakes or things are going poorly. You have a lot of injuries. Things just aren't working out the way that you had thought. But man, if you just see that chart and see how level it is, how just it's just little tiny micro movements in there, that just shows you how good of a coach he is versus so many different teams. What's up, Lone Star Londoner? North London is red. I freaking love it. Yeah, I have all the faith in Parkey. And I'm wondering if how many of you out there think that Parkey could possibly take us up to, not in the near future, maybe in the near future, how do I know? Take us up to Premier League. Could Parkey be a Premier League coach, Premier League manager? I'm very interested to hear other people's opinions on this because I've never really had a Premier League team. I used to follow Everton when Tim Howard was the goalie, followed Chelsea when Pulisic was on there, but it was always American players that led me to cheer for certain squads in the Premier League or Championship. So I'm interested in what people's opinions are on Parkey as a Premier League coach, because I know that there are many people out there who didn't think he could get us out of League Two, and maybe not League One. I also know there are people out there who didn't think he could get us out of the National League, which is just dumb. Because Parkey has done it so many times. What, he's gotten five or six promotions with different teams. That's so good. That's so good. All right. I just want to go over real quick the playoff situation. So on May 6th, that would be this Saturday, I believe. Let me make sure. Did I get that right? No. Next Monday. Weird. Why is it on a Monday? All right. May 6th, you'll have Crawley versus MK Dons and Crewe versus Doncaster. What an interesting matchups. So you got MK Dons versus Crawley. MK Dons finished fourth. Crawley finished seventh. MK had 78 points. Crawley had 70. Dons definitely have a better record over the last five games. They're definitely more of a streak. Crawley seems to be crawling out of a down round right now. And then Doncaster is ripping it up right now. Weren't they? I feel like they were down in like 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, not very many games ago. Purely because they've won four out of their last five. They are crushing it. So my prediction based on this, you know, I think Doncaster beats Crewe, and I think that Crawley actually beats MK Dons. Those are my predictions for May 6th, which is a week from tomorrow. Yeah, I'm interested to see who gets that fourth spot, because it's Stockport, Wrexham, and Mansfield with the automatic promotions. MK Dons, Doncaster, Crewe, Alexandra, and Crawley Town are fighting for that fourth spot. Wins it all. Right now, I'm going to guess that it is Doncaster. Lone Star Londoner, you are darn right. In the end, Parkey needs better players to compete next level up. As for EPL, much better players needed. That takes big investment. Yeah, 100%. I completely agree with you there. I guess my real question is, like, if he had the right players, because, you know, there are some managers out there who, even if they had the right players, they're still not going to be able to manage a Premier League team. And so I agree with you. He definitely needs the right players. So if he does have the right players, could he do it? I think yes. I think he's got the temperament for it. I think he's got the football mind for it. I think he'd fit in nicely with those elite coaches in the Premier League. I do think we're going to have a lot of slashes over the next two seasons, I would say. There's going to be a lot of players who are not coming back. And we're going to get to all this in the next episode. The next episode is going to be a very long episode, especially if Steve Irwin is on here with me, because we will talk for a very long time. Interesting. The best three teams last year are being relegated this year. Haven't looked at that yet. Yeah, we're going to do a season wrap up and look forward to the next season and kind of talk about who we think is going to stick around, who we think they're going to release or not sign again. We're going to do all that next week. Cause it's going to be an epic marathon episode. I'm going to be fully prepared with a lot of fun graphics, fun awards. We're going to do, like I said, our three awards that I was talking about earlier. It's going to be a blast, y'all. I'm very much looking forward to it. I watched this game on a laptop in the mountains of Montana, with the prettiest back, like the prettiest setting I've ever watched a football match in. And everything in that moment of us beating Stockport for the final game of the season was beautiful. The whole day was beautiful. I've thoroughly enjoyed this season two of the Wrexham Texan. I hope y'all have too. I hope y'all keep tuning in. I really enjoy doing this show, even though, you know, there are, like I said at the beginning, there are going to be times when I miss an episode or two. And that's just due to life. And once I start getting, you know, sponsors and paid for this, then maybe I won't miss any. Let's see. What did you say here, Lone Star Londoner? EPL. Luton, Burnley, and Sheffield United. Oh, yeah, Sheffield. They went back down. That's so funny. They were barely good enough to be there to begin with. I mean, we should have beat them last season in the FA Cup. So it does not surprise me at all that Sheffield dropped back down. And then Luton and Burnley make sense. Wasn't Luton the one that came up with what's that one player's name? Forget the one player's name. But didn't Luton have that one player who came up with the team from like League 7 all the way up to the Premier League, which is an absurdly impressive feat. But yeah. Y'all, we're going to wrap it up here. You can go follow me on Twitter and Instagram, WXM Texan. And you can also share this with your friends. Come back every week. I try to do this literally every week. And yeah, I just love doing it. I love talking Wrexham. And if you would like to come on the show, I'm very open to having other Wrexham fans or even people who don't like Wrexham who want to debate whether or not Wrexham is good enough or should be where they are. I'm happy to have people on to talk about all that. So, yeah, that'll be it for this week, y'all. Make sure to drop a like on the video, share it around. You can go watch this on peacefulsea.network. We're going to have some merch coming out soon. You'll be able to get some Wrexham Texan merch. And, yeah, that'll do it for today. Lone Star Leonard, appreciate the comments, buddy. I hope you have a great day, night, evening, morning, whatever it is. Hope you're having a great time. We will see y'all next week for the marathon episode of Wrexham Texan. Up the town. Jesus, my soul, though your heart, you're gonna see it. You're gonna see it. And if you knock my soul, oh, with all your strength, you're gonna find it, you're gonna find it.